Well, we've been going through the Gospel of Luke here at New Life Church Catford, and we are coming to a stage where Jesus has been in Galilee for a while now. His ministry has been focused there, and he's going to be moving out of Galilee. A focal point in Luke's Gospel, really, when Jesus sets out to Jerusalem. But before we look at God's word, let me read, and we're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us. So we're looking at God's word, Luke chapter 9, and from verse 10 to 17, Luke chapter 9, and that's in page 1039 of the church Bibles. Let me read Luke chapter 9. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus that what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. Then all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Let me pray. Please leave that your Bibles open to that page, and we're going to look at it together in a few seconds. But let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. Thank you that you are the God who speaks, the true and living God, who has spoken to us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who now speaks to us through your written word by your Spirit. Please would you kindly and graciously speak to us this afternoon, we pray. Give us hearts and minds that are receptive and understanding. And please, would your word by your Spirit move our wills to respond in a worthy way to the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in his name. Amen. Amen. Like I said, please leave your Bibles open to where we've just read. But let me start by saying, opinions today vary as to who Jesus is, isn't it? You see, everyone has a favorite aspect of Jesus' ministry and life that they would like to claim as an ally for their particular need. If you're a social person, you might call Jesus a revolutionary. If you are someone who's big on love, you focus on Jesus' love for people. If you are just a religious fanatic, you might focus on, I don't know what aspect of Jesus' life, but you find something. You see, in other words, we try to define the identity of Jesus at our own whims, rather than listen to what the gospel writers tell us about what Jesus has revealed about his own identity. See, I suppose if we were to take a questionnaire in here right now, our answers would vary as to who we think Jesus is. And the question is, would your answer agree with the gospel writers and what they tell us about Jesus, particularly in our passage today? You see, in the passage today, Luke addresses the question of Jesus' identity by giving us a picture of his provision and power. So look at me at what we just read in verse 16 and 17 of chapter 9. Taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute them. Then they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. You see, what I just read is actually sandwiched between two questions about who Jesus is. It's in chapter 9, verse 7 to 9, on the one side, Herod the Tetrarch, having killed John the Baptist, had heard about Jesus' miracles and teaching. And he was so perplexed that in verse 7, he was so perplexed as to what had happened to John the Baptist. So he had killed John the Baptist, and now he's asking the question. Because people were saying, look at what people were saying in verse 7 and 8. They were saying, John had been raised from the dead. And others said, well, Elijah, a prophet from old, centuries back that had died, had come back to life. And others said, Jesus is just some prophet that's come back to life. And Herod was perplexed. And you can understand, because you see, he reasoned with himself. He said this, I beheaded John, in verse 9, who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. That is Jesus. Herod asked, who is this man who's been preaching about God's kingdom and doing untold miracles? Who is Jesus? Herod asked. And on the other side, in chapter 9, verse 18 to 20, Jesus turns around to his disciples to ask them who they think he is. But you see, in verse 20, when he asked them, he said, who do people say that I am? Having seen all that he's teaching and the miracles that he's doing, who do people say I am? And his disciples responded by saying what Herod had been hearing about. Well, people, this thing, you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. Some people think you're prophet Elijah come back to life. Some people think you're just one of the prophets. To which Jesus turned around verse 20 and said, what about you? Who do you say I am? You see, we'll deal with this passage next week about the disciples' answer. But in the middle of these two questions about the identity of Jesus, we have our passage about the compassion and sympathy of Jesus manifested on a grand scale in feeding thousands. In fact, this is Jesus' biggest miracle in terms of the amount of people. You see, the only miracle in all four Gospels, apart from the resurrection, is this one. All four Gospels record this miracle. And the miracle is of sympathy, compassion, feeding of the crowd. And so far in Luke's Gospel, Jesus has attested to who he is by his miracles. That he is the Savior, the one who was ushering in God's kingdom, the one who has power to conquer diseases, to conquer death, to conquer demons, to conquer anything in this world that is awful. And he is the one who has power to establish God's kingdom. A kingdom of eternal joy and peace. No sadness and sorrow. Can you ever imagine a world where you feel no pain or sorrow, where you never weep or mourn, where you do not feel the heaviness of your sin? But Jesus is bringing that. He is the Messiah, the Savior we've been learning in Luke. He is God in human flesh. He's the one who brings God's salvation, the forgiveness of sin. And see, Galilee has been his region so far, where he's been ministering to people. And people have heard his message for months after months now. But you see, not many have repented or believed. but only a small group. A small group of disciples who will stick with Jesus all the way through as he concludes his ministry in Galilee. So the picture Luke puts before us today is this. Jesus is the compassionate God who has authority and power to provide for people's needs. Jesus is the compassionate God who has authority and power to provide for people's needs. And to help us see that, there are two things I want us to observe this afternoon. The first is this. Jesus is compassionate. That might sound like, obviously. But is it? So look with me at verse 10 and 11 in the passage. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus that what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowd learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. You see, the apostles are the same as chapter 1, verse 9. They are the 12 and verse 12. And they are also the disciples in verse 14 and 16. The 12, the disciples, the apostles, these followers of Jesus. And see, Jesus had given them power and authority and sent them out in verse 2 to preach about the kingdom and heal the sick. And you notice the results in verse 6? They weren't doing that. They went to village, from village to village, doing just that. They preached about God's kingdom and they healed the sick. So that verse 10, they came back to tell Jesus, Jesus, you know what you send us out to do? It actually happened. Like seriously, we told sick people to get up and they did. The first time Jesus had sent them out by themselves and it was a success. But do you notice Jesus' response, perhaps as they began to tell him all that they had done? He took them and said, let's get out of here. Perhaps let's go get some rest, Jesus is saying. And he took them to a place called Bethsaida, a city located on the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee. But the efforts for solitude and rest failed. Because you see, by this stage in Jesus' ministry, he was what you would call today a big celebrity. You see, he was too famous for anyone in Galilee not to notice that he was walking by. See in verse 11. Look at me. The crowd learned about it and followed him. Someone leaked his location and put it on Twitter. Hey, I've just seen Jesus. You see, there was no privacy policy to protect Jesus. In fact, he was born in a manger and first visited by shepherds. So rather than him being upset and saying, look, I've just come here with my disciples to rest. Just let me breathe. You see his response? Verse 11. Not a rude reaction, but one of compassion. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed healing. And notice what Jesus is doing here. He's doing exactly what he had sent his disciples out to do in verse 2. Do you notice that? He sent his disciples out in verse 2 to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. And then here, Jesus himself is preaching the kingdom of God and healing the sick. But his action here grabs our attention, isn't it? He could have sent the people away and said, look, I need time alone with my disciples. I mean, just imagine, you've gone to work and it's been a long day at work. One of those ones that you've had to work extra late. And you're coming home and you think, I just want to get home. And your spouse says, you know, I've made dinner, don't worry, you can just come home and rest. You walk into the door, greets you with a smile and say, oh, "Darling, you know, some friends called and they said they want to come over." I said, "Yeah, that's okay. They can come over." Imagine the look on your face. Imagine they were really needy friends too. They just sap your emotional energy. You see, Jesus, he welcomed them. How? What did he do by welcoming them? You see, verse 11, he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And he demonstrated the power of that kingdom by healing people. You see that in verse 11? He spoke to so many thousands of people, and then he started healing them. Whoever needed healing. We don't know how many. You see, these healings are a demonstration of Jesus' compassion for people. It wasn't just a display of power. But these healings point to more than just what's going on. See, they're a foretaste of the kingdom. You see, how would you know that in God's kingdom there will be no pain or sickness or sorrow? Well, Jesus is showing that to you now. He healed the sick. Jesus welcomes people and speaks to them about God's kingdom. But you see the order of that. What is their greatest need? All these people turned up. And Jesus' priority was to tell them about the kingdom of God. I presume before he healed them, there were people there who needed healing. But yet he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. About the forgiveness of sins, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the renewed heaven and new earth. And then displayed his power. Jesus is compassionate. Is that how you know him? Is that your thought of Jesus? When people irritate you and you just want them to go away, do you feel like they should be hearing about God's kingdom? Jesus shows compassion to people. And second thing I want us to observe is this. Jesus has power to provide. You see, having been teaching about the kingdom of God for hours, all attention are gazed on him. Can you imagine? There's thousands of people just gazing at Jesus. They are hearing the momentous news about God's kingdom. They had never heard things like this before. And he's not just talking. They had heard about his miracles. Some of them had seen it. All attention on him. And who cares about time, right? When you're hearing such great news, who cares? I mean, who cares? Well, it's getting dark. Who cares? I've never heard this news before. But someone does. Look at verse 12. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." What prompted Jesus' disciples to say this, the 12? Perhaps they really care. Perhaps they do. Perhaps they realize that some of the children are beginning to fidget. They're becoming restless. You just don't want to sit down anymore. And they're thinking, oh boy. But you see, first century, they had no fast food restaurants. Deliveroo and Just Eat was non-existent. What do you do when you have 5,000 people or men sitting down there? It would take a long time to get food. Perhaps one of the 12 or two of them or a few of them had begun to get hungry themselves, their stomachs rumbling. I mean, after all, Jesus had taken them aside and then that had been interrupted. They haven't got their rest. Perhaps they haven't got their food. So break time would mean they too can get some food. And you notice in verse 12 that some of the people had traveled so far that they in fact would need to go and get a lodging for the night. See that in verse 12? It's not just food they need. Some people actually need a place to stay for the night. Such is the fame of Jesus that people come from all over. But to this question of the disciples or their comments about where to get, about sending these people away to find food to eat, you see Jesus' reply in verse 13, surprising as it is confusing. You give them something to eat. You see, the you is emphatic. Jesus saying, do something about it. You give them something to eat. It's a perplexing thing to say, because look at their response. They answered, Master, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. And you hear crowd, you think, must be quite a big number. Well, Luke wants you to know, verse 14, about 5,000 men were there. Not including women and children. Just the men. 5,000 hefty, hungry men. So we are talking about a bigger number than 5,000. And see, as the disciples see it, the suggested solution is not practical, is it? We can't go and buy food for 5,000 men, not to talk of children and women. That's not possible. Where do you get that kind of food? I mean, if you worked in McDonald's, you know, the owner of McDonald's might be very happy if that happened. But if you worked there or you worked for delivery, you'd be very upset that day. Because, I mean, how do you even do the deliveries? You probably don't even have enough food. 5,000 men. Where do you even begin to get the money to feed 5,000 people? These disciples were not millionaires. I don't know of millionaires who just wants to throw out their money and feed 5,000 people unless it's a great party that they're having. See, food for a crowd consisting of 5,000 males, not to mention women and children, is unthinkable. How do you do that? And maybe you have sympathy for the disciples, but the trouble with the disciples was that, you see, they concentrated their attention on the hungry crowd. However, it doesn't even matter how sincere their concern is, because it seems that they are forgetting the most important thing. What do you think that might be? You see, Jesus is the King, the Messiah, who has been demonstrating the power of God for these disciples all throughout the ministry in Galilee. Their forgetfulness is inexcusable. You see, only a few verses earlier, in verse 10, they had returned to tell Jesus that they preached about the kingdom and people were getting healed. Because Jesus gave them authority to do that. And in verse 11, they had been seeing Jesus preaching the kingdom and healing people. I mean, they should be saying, food? Okay. But you see, in chapter 8 as well, Jesus had been demonstrating his power as the Savior, as the King, as he conquered disease and as he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, as he healed a woman. Literally touched Jesus. And she had been bleeding for 12 years, and the bleeding stopped. The disciples walked into Jairus' house and saw Jesus say to a girl who had been dead, get up, like she was sleeping. And now they wonder, where do we get food for 5,000 people? So Jesus didn't even entertain their comments. You see what he says in verse 14? Look at me. Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. Huh? But the disciples just did it. Really? Okay. Everybody, why don't you gather around the dining table on the floor, sit around in 50s, and I wonder what they said to the people. Guys, sit down in 50s. We're about to eat. And they probably just look at you and think, are you out of your mind? With what food? I don't have a packed lunch. See, Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish and looked up to heaven, as he would customarily do and Jews would do. He gave thanks and broke it. And I just can't get this in my head, because he did that, gave thanks, and then began giving them to the disciples, and he just given and given and given and given. And people were getting food, and 5,000 people, men and then women and children, just given and given. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And you notice in verse 17, they all ate, were satisfied, and the disciples even got a takeaway basket. See that? Can you imagine the thoughts going through the disciples' mind when Jesus said, get the people to sit down, and then he got 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he's praying a mealtime prayer. I mean, was he going to give them a symbolic teaching? No, he literally turned 5 loaves and 2 fish into a basket, into a banquet that feeds over 5,000 people, and no chefs were needed. And the disciples were the waiters. And you see, they didn't get no restaurant portion either. You ever been to those restaurants and like you are just looking forward to the meal and it comes out and you think, where is the food? No, it was a buffet. You eat until your belly satisfaction. See that in verse 17? So much so that we are told that there were leftovers. And the 12 baskets are a small basket that Jews would carry on their travels, because they don't like to buy food from Gentile regions. So typically it would contain crackers and that could survive, and salted or dried fish. So it's a small basket, and they got 12. They get to carry something away. Do you notice the precision of the Lord Jesus? It's staggering, isn't it? He creates and creates to the last morsel. Exactly what it took to feed every single person, and enough for 12 baskets to carry away. Nothing wasted. You notice how generous he is? Jesus demonstrates here what nobody but God alone can do, right? I mean, you ever been at your friend's house and you're hungry and you just turned stuff to food? No one can do that but God. And notice Jesus' authority and power. Do you notice what he's doing? Verse 14, he told his disciples to get people to sit down. Verse 16, he gives thanks and keeps giving the bread and fish to the disciples. Before our eyes is a miracle that answers the question of who Jesus is. And the picture here calls back a similar account in the Old Testament when God rescued Israel from their sins. See, when God had redeemed Israel from slavery in Egypt, he fed them in the wilderness with manna from heaven. This supernatural feeding by God of his people was intended both as a demonstration of his provision and as a test of his people. So look at me on the screen. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down from heaven, bread down from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Verse 13. Then that evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, the thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. I mean, it's just like mind-blowing. You are in the desert. I mean, have you ever been to a desert? My wife and I were in Morocco, and we were in the desert. I mean, like, it's horrendous. We were covered in dust, thirsty. Just, you live in the desert, and you get quail and bread. God did that. But it was the unseen God. Notice, who's providing in Exodus what the unseen God? It can't be seen. He said to Moses, this is what's going to happen. In Luke, who's doing this miracle? Jesus. You see, the picture is of the Lord who miraculously provides for his people in the most unlikely of circumstances. A remote place. Verse 12. But Jesus was also saying to them, not merely that he can provide now, is he can. I mean, if you're a Christian, you know that in your life, right? God provides our needs. You might not get your wants, but he provides our needs. But you see, it's more than just giving them bread and fish now. Jesus cares about people. And he's demonstrating that he has the power to bring in a new heaven and a new earth where hunger will be no more. A few weeks ago, we looked at Luke chapter 6 and we hear that the hungry will be satisfied. And according to another Old Testament passage, Isaiah 25, one of the things the Messiah would do is to put on a lavish banquet in the kingdom. You see, Jesus would do that, as it shows here in the feeding of these people. So what do we see in this story? What are we being given here? As we ask the question about who Jesus is and we get answer next week, what are we being shown by Luke? You see, we see the generous, merciful, loving Lord. We see the compassion, the sympathy, the tenderness, the kindness of God, even towards those who rejected Jesus. Do you notice that Luke doesn't even tell us how the crowd reacted? This picture was for the disciples. Jesus fed these people, and yet later on, some of them will cry out for his blood to be shed on the cross. And he just fed them and healed them and told them about God's kingdom. Jesus has set an example for you and I to walk how he walked. What do I mean? Go out and turn bread and fish to feed thousands of people? Well, no. But we need to show mercy to people in need. We need to provide people with the good news of the kingdom because they need to hear about God's kingdom, his mercy and grace and forgiveness. However, we need to bring relief wherever we can to those who suffer from sickness and diseases that sin has brought into our world. But mostly, we need to tell people of Jesus Christ who shows us the compassion of God. May we show that same compassion of God to those whom we serve and minister to. But perhaps you don't know that compassion today. May you know that compassion. Come to Jesus. See him for who he is. Turn to him. Let me pray. And we are going to have time for a couple of questions. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that in Jesus, you are the compassionate Lord, the God who provides in the most unlikely of circumstances. Thank you that that is true of our salvation. In the most unlikely of circumstances, you have provided a Savior to save us from our sin. Please help us to turn to Christ, to see him for who he is revealed to be in your word, and to respond in a way that is worthy of him. In his name we pray. Amen.